Well, good morning, everyone. If you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this nice, warmer Sunday morning. Last week it was very cold. Last Sunday was cold. Last week was cold. But today was not too bad. I didn't have to wear my long coat. I carried it, but I didn't need to wear it. So it wasn't too bad today. But I hope that you've been brave in the cold. But either way, it's good to be able to see you here this Sunday morning. You know, last week we looked at our theme, and also the title of last week's lesson was "According to Your Faith, Will It Be Done to You?" And so I do hope that this week you've had a faithful week, a faith of an audacious faith, and also authentic faith, where you've been living your life as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's what we talked about last week, having an authentic faith. Our faith demonstrated by not just how we feel, not just how we think, but our faith demonstrated by how we live our life. And having an audacious faith, a faith that is not confined by fear, not confined by small thinking, small expectations, but a faith that is fearless, unafraid, bold, willing to take risks and experience new things in our life. And hopefully you've been able to think about, you know, maybe some different things you'd like to see happen in 2015 that can only happen by faith. You know, sometimes it's good to set some goals for ourselves. Say, you know what? If this goal was to happen, I couldn't take credit for it. It would simply be because of God. And hopefully we have some goals for 2015 that are going to stretch us and call us higher in our faith. A faith that where we step out of our comfort zone and allow God to take us to places that we've never been before. You know, today we're going to continue as our lessons are going to be centered on faith and having faith in our day-to-day lives. You know, today we're going to talk about, we're going to look at a woman who had faith to seek out Jesus. And that is the bleeding woman found in Mark chapter 5. But before I do that, I want to read a story. It's called The Power of Belief. And maybe you know this lady, maybe you don't. Her name is Wilma Rudolph. She became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals at a Symbol Olympics in 1960 at the Summer Games in Rome. You know, the road to victory was not an easy one for Wilma. She was born premature on June 23rd, 1940, in Tennessee. She had 21 siblings. That alone would make things very challenging. But for her, she was stricken with polio as a child. And she had problems with her left leg and had to wear a brace. She was quoted as saying, "My doctors told me I would never walk again. My mother told me I would, so I believed my mother." So it was with great belief, determination, and the help of physical therapy that she was able to overcome the disease as well as her resulting physical disabilities. She went on to become a gifted runner. In the 1960 Olympic Games, she set a world record of 11.3 seconds in the 100-meter dash in the semifinals. She won the 100 meters in the final round with a time of 11 seconds. Similarly, she broke the Olympic record in the 200-meter dash with a record of 23.2 seconds in the semifinals before winning the 200-meter in the final. She was also part of the U.S. team that beat the world record in the 4x1 100-meter relay at a record of 4.4 seconds. And winning the relay in the finals. You know, you gotta appreciate this woman's belief. That, you know, the doctors told her, you know, you may never walk again. But her mom said, you know what? Believe that she would. And by holding on to that belief, and her own belief and determination, she was able to go on to do great things. You know, I do believe that there are different lessons we can learn about the power of belief. There are lessons we can learn today about the power of faith. And here we're going to look at a woman who, through her faith and through her determination, she was determined to believe determined to seek out Jesus despite her circumstances. And that is, as we're going to study on the bleeding woman here this morning. Before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Then after the prayer, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, where we'll begin our Bible study here this morning. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that we can gather here this morning to be able to sing songs, to be able to worship you, to be able to take communion this morning. And Father, we thank you so much that we can continue to take some time to open up your word and, Father, to allow your word to speak to us so it can increase our faith. Help us, God, not to live our lives by sight, but help us, God, to live our lives filled with faith. That, Father, whatever it is that is thrown our way, that, Father, we would be men and women who live by faith, who are determined not to give up, not to give in to whatever circumstances we're faced with. But, Father, we're able to face these circumstances with faith. And that, Father, we're able to see you work powerfully in our lives, Father, to glorify your name. Father, thank you so much again that we could be here this morning. Father, as we open your word, Father, I pray that your spirit work powerfully through me, Father, to meet all of our needs here this morning, so that, Father, we can grow in becoming men and women of faith here today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus, for the example that he is to us. Thank you so much for his life and his sacrifice. We pray this through your son's holy and precious name. Amen. The title of today's lesson is, Your Faith Has Made You Well. In Mark chapter 5, you turn there. Mark chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 21. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. You know, we'll continue to look at Jairus next week. So this is, again, part one. We'll look at the continuation of Jairus next Sunday. But here we see a woman subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, I'm not sure how you feel about blood. I know I have a very weak stomach. You know, I remember the first time I went to go give blood as a disciple. That was my first time ever giving blood. And I got coerced, I guess you want to say, encouraged, coerced, whatever you want to call it, to go and give blood. And one of the other ministers, same situation, never gave blood. Actually, he'd given blood before, but he was still uncomfortable with it. And so we decided, let's go together. Let's support each other as we go and give blood for this Hope Project. Let's say it was very difficult. Two of us just looked over at each other. They're taking blood out of us. We couldn't look at the needle. And they're just taking the blood out of us. Then, especially after you give blood, and you see this big bag full of your blood. And you're like, wait a second. I didn't know I was going to give that much. I thought maybe like a little vial that you see at the doctor's. But you saw this big bag and you're wondering, man, am I going to live? But it was so much blood taken out of me. And so even still to this day, I'm not a big fan of the sight of blood. But either way, this lady subject to bleeding for 12 years. and that she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And it says that she spent all that she had. She spent all that she had in attempts to get better. But we see the result. That instead of getting better, she got worse. You know, that itself would be kind of discouraging. One, that you're getting worse, but now you're broke. You spent all you had trying to get better, and instead of getting better, you got worse. You know, that would have been very frustrating and very discouraging. And so she came and was desperate and wanted to get some help. So, of course, she comes to Jesus for help. And eventually she gets healed of her suffering. And during this encounter, Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." You know, we are at different points today in our lives, different points in our faith. You know, we may not have some problem like this bleeding woman. We may have a physical problem. But we may have emotional problems. We can have family problems, marital problems, parental problems. We can have work problems, you name it. Finances, relationships, you name it. Life is filled with one problem or another. But I do believe that there are different lessons we can learn about this woman, that whatever we face in our life, whatever we're facing right now, whatever we face in our lives this coming week, that we can approach those different situations with faith. And we can allow God to work in our life in an amazing way to help us to have a victory in our life. You know, what do we learn about this woman? One, first, her faith in the power of God. That she was convinced that Jesus had the power to heal her. And her word said, "If I just touch his clothes, if I just do that, I will be healed." You know, she imagined that things can be different if I just touch his clothes, that, you know what, that'll make a difference in my life. You know, there's a story about a lady by the name of Marilyn King, an Olympic athlete in the 1972 Olympics. And in the summer of 1979, she was training for the Olympic trials in 1980 when she was injured in an accident. She injured her lower back and she could not move. She tried to get better, but failed. People felt sorry for her, but she didn't feel sorry for herself. She still believed she could compete in the Olympic trials. She said, "It's strange, but I never believed this setback would stop me. It constantly went through my head that I would get better." She trusted the doctors, therapists would get a handle on things, and she would be training very soon. Unfortunately, her progress was slow, and she remained in pain and unable to move. With only a few months remaining, she started training the only way that she could, in her head. A pentathlon athlete, she knew that there was 5 events that she had to do. 100 meters, 200 meters, shot put, long jump, and high jump. All she could do is watch films of world record holders. She watched them in slow motion, and when she got bored, she watched them backwards for fun. All she could do is visualize competing in the Olympics in detail. People thought she was crazy, but she was never ready to give up. She trained as hard as she could without moving a muscle. Later, when she could walk a little, she went to the track and had people set up all of her events. Even though she could not physically practice, practice. She would stand on the track and envision in her mind the complete physical training routine she would have to go through if she was able. For months, I imagined, she says, competing and qualifying at the trials. Was visualizing enough? Was it truly possible that I could place in the top three at the Olympic trials? I believed it with all of my heart. When the trials actually rolled around, she was healed enough to compete. She raced through her five events as if in a dream. Afterwards, she walked across the field and heard the announcer say, second place, the 1980 Olympics pentathlon. You know, this woman, her belief just going, all right, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to believe it with all of my heart. Because in her mind, she imagined that, you know what? Things can be different. That things can be different. She imagined it. And so it came to be. You know, where is our faith at this morning? You know, what do you believe God can do in your current situation? There's another way of framing that. What do you believe God can do in your current situation? You know, do you believe and do you imagine things looking very differently in your life than whatever your current circumstances are? Whether it be being healed of some kind of ailment, whether it be making some kind of character change in your life, whether it be being at emotional peace because of some kind of previous turmoil, past turmoil, and the list goes on. You know, we must have faith like this bleeding woman to believe, you know what, if I just seek out Jesus, and if I just touch his clothes, if I just get close to him, that I will be healed. And to have that faith in the power of God, to believe that God can do amazing things in our life, and that by having faith, it can make a difference in our life. You know, we see that this bleeding woman, she had faith. We see her faith also, not just in the power of God, but her faith to act and seek out Jesus. You know, Jesus was with this important man. Yet this sick, humiliated woman pushed through the crowd to get to Jesus. You know, so many things could have stopped her from seeking out Jesus. The fact that this is a situation going on for 12 years, that itself would have been discouraging. And she could have just said, you know what? It's been 12 years. You know what? Maybe life is just meant to be this way. So let me just resign to life as it is. She could have had doubts. You know, she could have been afraid of further disappointment. You know, sometimes we could be like that in our faith where we might ask God for something. We don't get it. So we say, you know, why am I going to bother asking him again? Because I'm only going to set myself up for further disappointment. And she could have been afraid of disappointment because she tried many things. They didn't work. So why bother setting myself up for any further disappointment? And we see this lady. She lacked money. She had poor health. But she had faith. And that was enough for her to begin her journey of being healed. She had the faith to act and seek out Jesus. And so too, we must act and seek out Jesus as well in our lives. Where we seek him out, we trust him, we follow him, and we obey him. And as we put things into practice, the healing process begins. You know, it's just not about becoming a Christian. This is not about seeking Jesus out to become a Christian, although, hey, you know what, if that's what you want to do, if you're not a Christian and you want to seek him out to become a Christian, amen. But as Christians, what we need to continue to do is continue to obey Jesus. Seek out Jesus, continue to obey him, and as we put whatever he wants us to do into practice, the healing process begins. Sometimes we want the healing to begin, but yet for ourselves not do anything to act. We want the healing to happen, then we act. But meanwhile, God wants us to put things into practice, and then the healing process will begin in our lives. You know, her faith to seek out Jesus and to act. Her faith to, number three, not to care what others think. Can you imagine? 12 years. You know, I'm sure there was maybe a smell that came from that. And she could have been very self-conscious. But she didn't care what people would think about her. She didn't care too much about what others thought to stop her from pursuing Jesus. You know, when we care too much about what others think, you know, we can easily make a decision not to follow Jesus. When we care too much about others think, we go, you know what? I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to do what Jesus wants because of what my friends at school, my friends at work, what they're going to think of me. And we can then choose what is socially acceptable, what's more comfortable, rather than doing what pleases God. And then we miss out on what God has in store for us simply because we care too much about what other people think. You know, I hear people at times say, you know what? If I become a Christian, I'm going to miss out on life. You hear someone tell you that? If I become a Christian, I'm going to miss out. Life is all ahead of me. And I tell them, if you don't become a Christian, you're going to miss out. Sometimes if you focus on what if I become a Christian, because we give in to what people think. We let people determine what we're going to miss out on or not miss out on. Instead of following Jesus and allowing Jesus to work powerfully in our life to do something that no one else can do. You know, even when she was healed, she could have just run. She could have just said, you know what? I touched his clothes. I was healed. Now let me just kind of sneak away and run. But you know what? She wasn't like that. Because she didn't care what people thought. And so she came to Jesus, said trembling. But you know what? She still came to him. And was willing to come to him even though there was still a crowd around Jesus. Because you know what? She didn't care what people thought. All that mattered is what Jesus thought and what Jesus was going to do. She had the faith to act, to seek out Jesus, not care about what people think. You know, we should not let people dictate what we do or don't do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If people tell you it's not cool to be a disciple, it's not fun, you'll be laughed at if you believe what you're called to believe, we shouldn't care what people think. We should do what God calls us to do and allow God's power to work in our lives and not miss out on what God has in store for us. Number four, we see that her faith was blessed. That her bleeding stopped. And she was freed from her suffering. You know, becoming well was a result of her faith. Her faith transferred the power of God into her life. You know, when we live our lives by faith, God blesses us in so many different ways. You know, but at times, those blessings can look different than we may expect. At times, the problem, whatever it is we face, God will work so that the problem is gone. But again, like I mentioned, at times the blessing can come in a different way than we think. Where the problem might not change immediately. But God works in changing us. You know, you look through the scriptures. You look through the Apostle Paul, who pleaded 3 times for the thorn to be removed. But you know, it's God's will for it to stay there. You think about Paul being thrown into prison. And maybe he pleaded to get out of that prison. But you know what? He was in that prison. But you know what? God worked in his heart to fill him with a peace that passes understanding. Because Paul knew that he could do everything through him who gives him strength. Because sometimes a problem may not immediately go away, and in some situations, that problem may never go away. But God can bless our lives with what we need to be able to face the problem, where we're not walking around being enslaved to this problem, where this problem is overcoming us, but where we can overcome whatever problem it is that we face, simply because of what God does in blessing our faith when we put him first in our life and we do what he calls us to do. And the fifth thing we see here is that our faith got Jesus' attention. That our faith got Jesus' attention. That she touched Jesus' clothes. Jesus knew that, hey, someone touched me. And she did this in a crowd of people. So Jesus was looking around. You know, someone touched me. Who was it? So Jesus was looking around. But this woman got Jesus' attention. Sometimes we want God's attention, but not have to do anything to get it. We want God's attention, but we don't want to pray, act. This bleeding woman got Jesus' attention because she believed, because she acted, and she got his attention. You know, we're doing something right now to get God's attention in our lives. Or we do something to show God, you know, we're really serious about our faith. We're really serious about being blessed in our faith. Whether you think about the persistent widow who got God's attention by day and night, kept on going and praying to get God's attention. You know, what are we doing to get God's attention? You know, we pray, ask, but do something to show God, you know, God, I'm willing to do something to get your attention. I'm willing, like last week we talked about, I'm willing to step out and have bold faith to do something great for you to get his attention. You know, the bleeding woman was healed because of her faith. She had the faith to believe in the power of God. She believed that things could be different. And wherever we're at in our faith here today, we need to believe that wherever we're at right now, by faith and by acting, things can be different for the better. But we got to give Jesus a chance to work in our life in order to make things different, where we trust him and we obey him. She had the faith to act to seek out Jesus. She had the faith to not care about what other people thought. She had a faith that was blessed by God. And she had a faith to get Jesus' attention. You know, let's live our lives today, next week, through 2015. Let's live our lives by faith. And according to our faith, it'll be done to us. Amen.